This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for gathering us here tonight to learn and to listen the details of 40 selected ahadith of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as Mawlana Faisal correctly said that these 40 ahadith, if a person has a good understanding of these ahadith, then you will have a good understanding of life. You'll have a good understanding of your being. And because Imam Nawawi was so sincere in what he was doing, these 40 ahadith are the most famous 40 ahadith written by great ulama. And I agree with Mawlana Faisal also that inshallah the brothers and sisters must make a niyyah that for the next 40 weeks you're going to be here. You must be anxious to listen to the words of Rasulullah. There is a beautiful story that happened in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two of the Sahaba, they were both working, and their work was to look after camels. So the one Sahabi said to the other one, "My dear brother, if both of us are gonna all day sit with the camels, then we're gonna miss out on the words of Rasulullah. I'm suggesting one day I look after your camels and you can go and listen to Rasulullah, you come and tell me. The next day I go and you look after my camels for a period, and then I come and tell you the hadith of Rasulullah." So the other Sahabi said to him, "Now seeing that you have made such a great proposal or suggestion, you go first." And when he entered the masjid of Rasulullah, wallahi brothers, the story is beautiful. He was standing and he didn't want to sit down because he was all too afraid that he's going to miss one word or two words of Rasulullah. He was afraid he's going to sit down, he's going to miss. And he was listening, and Rasulullah said, "Any person that takes wudu properly, Allah will forgive all your sins." And out of excitement, he said, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." And the person behind him put him down and said, "You should have listened to the one before this one." And he said, "Now what's the one before this?" He said, "The Nabi Muhammad said, if you take properly wudu, and you say after wudu, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, then Allah will open the 8 doors of the Jannah." And who was the person behind him? Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. So we must move also on that excitement to listen to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I had ustaz in Medina from Jordan, Sheikh Nu'man. He was always so excited when he speaks about Rasulullah and Ali. If he says, Qala Rasulullah, and he smiled, he's gonna say now words of Rasulullah. Also, we must adopt the attitude of being excited and eager to listen to the words of Rasulullah, even if you've heard it 500 times a hadith, or 700 times, or even 1,000 times. Because that was the attitude of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah says, if I listen to a hadith of Rasulullah, even if I've heard it 1,000 times already, I make as if it is the first time I'm going to listen to the words of Rasulullah. With passion, with love. Allahu Akbar. So inshallah, make it here for the next 40 weeks. We're going to be here.
Inshallah.
Allahu Akbar. In fact, I want to congratulate those who have acceded to the invitation to come listen to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Nabi Muhammad says, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman sahalallahu bihi tariqan ila jannah." Any person that takes a path wherein he's going to seek knowledge, and the greatest knowledge is the Quran. And next after the Quran are the words and ahadith of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any person that goes out of his way to seek the knowledge, and that's exactly what you've done tonight. That's why you came to the masjid. And Allah, Rasulullah says, then Allah will make the way to the Jannah easy for you. Wallahi. And one of the reasons why ulama concentrated on 40 ahadith is because in another hadith the Nabi Muhammad says, any person that memorizes 40 ahadith of Rasulullah, then Allah will raise you amongst the Nabiyeena, the Siddiqeena, the Shuhada'i, the Salihin. Allahu Akbar. I also want to remind that seeking of knowledge is a fault. It's compulsory on each and every Muslim. So once again, you must thank Allah that you are here, because this is part of seeking knowledge. You are carrying out a fard. Like Allah is going to question us about the salah. Did you make your salah 5 times per day? You're going to be questioned at the day of Qiyamah. Likewise, we are going to be questioned. Did you go out and seek knowledge? And Allah says in the Quran, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Don't only say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Go find out, go learn, seek knowledge about why you say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ is the highest form of Iman. So it can't be just by saying لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. No, we Allah says, go learn that there's no one worthy of worship except Allah. And Allah also says in the Quran, أَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah is asking the question, those people who know and those people who don't know, are they the same? They can't be the same. Is a person that knows the 40 ahadith, and that's why I would advise that each one of my dear brothers and sisters, you buy the Arba'in Nawawi. It is translated into English. So you can make the notes in your book, make a study of it, practice it, learn it. Wallahi, you're going to do it. I almost think that it is meant for you also. You will be raised with the Nabiyeena, the Siddiqeena, the Shuhada'i, the Salihin. Wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, you will find these 40 ahadith amazing. You will love it. And you must share it with your family, though. You must share it with your children and your grandchildren, inshallah. So alhamdulillah, we as Muslims, we can proudly say that our deen is all about knowledge, it's about education, it's about seeking knowledge. We can proudly say that the first verse, not let me quickly rectify me, the first word that was revealed to us is a motivation to seek knowledge. Iqra, the very first word of the Quran, the first instruction of Allah to the Muslim Ummah, read and empower yourself with knowledge. So these are important words to remember. I will advise for next week, inshallah, you bring with a book and a pen, important things that you want to remember, you write it down. There's a friend of mine, he's got a saying, write it down, don't try to remember it. Was can you also remember it? So you can even tell your children, my dear children, the first word that Allah has revealed in the Quran is you must read and empower yourself with knowledge. I think about 35 years ago, or even more, Sheikh Abu Bakr Najjar was a great alim, and he was also former president of the MJC. In Vitapur Civic Center, he had a lecture, and I can still remember up to today. He said, the first word that Allah has revealed in the Quran is an open declaration of war against ignorance. Well, that's a powerful statement. That's a powerful statement. The first word of the Quran is an open declaration of war against ignorance. There's no place for ignorance in Islam. This is a deed, we can proudly say, of knowledge and education. Alhamdulillah. So my dear brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, we don't have time to waste. We must make good use of our time to increase our knowledge. Our deen says, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Our beloved Nabi Muhammad says, a person that go out and seek knowledge until old age, until he dies, wallahi, Nabi Muhammad says, that person dies a shaheed. Was it a shaheed? Was it a jannah? Now, recently, I got the information from an old lady in Palestine, in Hebron. At the age of 85 years old, she memorized the whole Quran. Can you believe it? Subhanallah. 85, and she memorized the Quran. She was working at the Hafi school, and for 2 years, 3 years, she was listening to the teachers, reading the lessons, and as she was listening, she memorized the Quran. But this is a beauty part that I will always remember from her. She said, even if Allah is going to grant me to live until 100 years, I will still go out to seek knowledge because of my zeal and my love for knowledge. Allahu Akbar. My zeal, you must have that zeal to seek knowledge. Alhamdulillah. I just want to make another important statement. We can learn from anybody, and we can learn from non-Muslims also. I just want to remind the Sahaba, they translated the work and the knowledge of the Greek philosophers to Arabic so that they can learn from it. Now there's a particular person, he's a pastor in America, his name is John C. Maxwell. I'm a fond reader of John C. Maxwell. There was one many years ago, I bought a book, small book. It is called Make Today Count. The first time, this is about 15 years ago, the first time I saw the book, the small book, 148 rand. And I said to myself, man, this book is too expensive. But the second time around, I thought, I think this book is an explanation of the Hadith of Rasulullah. The Hadith of Rasulullah says, if your 2 days are the same, you must improve every day. If your 2 days are the same, you're a loser. And I was right. That book is an explanation of more detail of that Hadith of Rasulullah. But I want to bring you to one point of what John C. Maxwell says in this book. He says, if you give a piece of marble to an average person, that person will give you back the piece of marble. But if you give the piece of marble to a sculptor, a professional sculptor, you will look at it and he will give you back a masterpiece of that marble. So then he says, so all of us, we must also become sculptors, but not of marble, of time. And we must make a masterpiece out of each and every day. You know, just this morning, I heard a great sheikh from Syria saying, Allah says in the Quran, Wal asri, inna al-insana lafi khusr. Allah swears and takes an oath by time that humankind, human beings, they are at a loss. He says the reason why Allah swears by time, because if you are wasting time, then that alone is enough to consider you to be a loser. Wal asri, inna al-insana lafi khusr. So, dear brothers, alhamdulillah, you have taken the right decision to be here. So now we come to the hadith. This is the first hadith of the 40 hadith. An Amir al-Mu'mineen, Abi Hafsin, Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, قال, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This hadith is narrated by the great leader, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, he was on his way to kill the Nabi Muhammad ﷺ. And look how Allah gave guidance. And you know the story, a person that has guided his Islam said to Sayyidina Umar, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Muhammad. Kill him. And the person said to him, but you must first look at your own family. At your own house. So now Allah said, what do you mean? Your sister, see, embrace Islam. And he was angry. And he went for his sister. And he hit his sister. But as a brother, when he saw the blood, he became a bit soft. And he said, but what is this? She said, this is the Quran. He said, give me. She said, no, you can't. You must go first go clean yourself. And the ayat that was given to him is Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. And as he was reading, Allah changed the darkness in his heart to noor. And instead of going to Rasulullah to kill Rasulullah, we went to read his shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. Said Allah became such a great Muslim and such a great leader. Listen to what Rasulullah says. There's no prophet, no Nabi after me. But if there had to be another Nabi, it would have been Umar ibn al-Khattab. Allah. So tonight is not the night to speak, because we can speak all night of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab says, Sami'tu. I heard Rasulullah say, though the ulama of hadith say that this is the strongest form of narration. If a sahabi say, Sami'tu, then it means he was present when Rasulullah said it. Sometimes you get in the narration of the hadith, the sahabi will say, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi Muhammad said, but it doesn't mean that he listened to himself. He heard it from somebody else. So if a sahabi says, Sami'tu, ek het gehoor, I've heard Rasulullah saying, that is the strongest form of narrations. Knowledge is beautiful. Knowledge is beautiful. Wallahi. And he said, the Nabi Muhammad said, Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, wa innama li kulli mar'in ma nawa. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلدُّنْيَا يُسِيبُهَا ينكحها فيجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this hadith is narrated by the two greatest imams in hadith. The two greatest imams in hadith. And the names are Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail ibn Ibrahim al-Bukhari, Imam Bukhari. The Imam Bukhari's name is Muhammad. And his father's name is Ismail. And his grandfather's name is Ibrahim. And Bukhari is linked to a place called Bukhara. If you go to Makkah, you will see people from Uzbekistan. It was under the Soviet Union. It's not in an Arab country. Imam Bukhari is not an Arab. He's a foreigner. He's a non-Arab. But he is the Imam. The greatest Imam of Hadith. Allahu Akbar. And the reason why it's called Abu Abdullah, that is what we call in Arabic a kunya. Your kunya is that you are called after your eldest son. Abu Abdullah, his eldest son was Abdullah, so he is Abu Abdullah. If your son is Ahmad, then you are called Abu Ahmad. When I was in Medina, my eldest daughter was Halima. So my neighbors all called me Abu Halima, the father of Halima. Abu Halima. So Imam Bukhari's kunya is Abu Abdullah. His name is Muhammad ibn Ismail ibn Ibrahim al-Bukhari. And the other Imam, Abu Hussein, Muslim ibn Hajjaj ibn Muslim. Imam Muslim, his kunya is Abu Hussein because his eldest son is Hussein. And his name is Muslim. And his father's name is Hajjaj. And his grandfather's name is also Muslim. That is the way the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and all of them always honored their fathers and their mothers. To give your child's name, your father's name, or your mother's name. You know, I've also read in a book that if you now look at a photo that was taken 10 years or 5 years or 20 years ago, and there's 30 people on the photo, and you're also there. The first person that you're going to look for on the photo is who? It's yourself. Because you are the most important person for you. And your name is very important for you. I've advised so many people when I go to the Dukma, and I tell people, why don't you give your father's name or why don't you give your mother's name? Because of mother and father, they feel honored. It's an honor for them if my child gives my name. So we can see, I'm a Muslim, his grandfather's name is, so his father gave his name Muslim because his father's name is Muslim. Right, Muslim, this hadith, innama al-a'mal bin-niyyat. All your a'mal, all your good deeds will be judged according to your intention and your sincerity. And this hadith, Mawlana Faisal has earlier said that the Fatiha hadith, you know, your whole life revolves around this Fatiha hadith. Now there are some ulama saying that this hadith, this one first hadith that was quoted by Imam Nawawi of Rasulullah, half of the deen revolve around this hadith. Some of them says three quarter. Some of them says the whole deen revolve around this hadith of the Nabi Muhammad. This is the origin. This is the asl. That you must do everything to please Allah. You must do everything here from your heart with sincerity. So this is a very important hadith. Allahu Akbar. And that is why Imam Nawawi and so many of the ulama, when they write a book, The first hadith in the book is this hadith. For two reasons, or maybe for more reasons. Just to make sure that this book that I've written is not to show off. This hadith is not to think people must think that I'm a great scholar. This hadith is not to impress people that the knowledge that I have. Nothing of these. It must be purely for the sake of Allah. Only for the pleasure of Allah. Just to please Allah. I just want to be in the good books with Allah. I'm not worried what people are going to say about me. Allah. And the second reason the ulama say is that the seeker of knowledge, and you must know, and I must know, as scholars and seekers of knowledge, that we must seek knowledge for the sake of Allah. We must seek knowledge for the sake of Allah. Coming back to Iqra, so you learn, you read, you empower yourself with knowledge, and then Allah says, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, in the name of the one that has created you, Allah. You mustn't study and work hard and you have a BA degree and an MA degree and a PhD degree, because Mr. Gables, this is Mr. Gables, Dr. Gables, and my name is Mr. Gables, Dr. No, you must learn and empower yourself. Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq, in the name of the one that has created you and created the universe. Then you will be successful. Coming back to the importance and necessity of sincerity, ikhlas. Indeed, the most important principle of our deen is to make sure that sincerity becomes a reality for all of us in our hearts. We must make sure that sincerity becomes a reality in our hearts. And how are we going to achieve it? The sincerity. Number one, إخفاء الأعمال وعدم إظهارها. We must hide away. You know, people mustn't know what we are doing. You stand up in the middle of the Salat and Tahajjud, that is between you and Allah. You're not going to tell your friends at work and the neighbors. I just want to tell you that alhamdulillah, every night I'm up for Salat and Tahajjud. No. Nobody must know. That is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Nabi Muhammad says, one of the seven people that will stand under the arsh of Allah, رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ, as a person that remembers Allah alone and tears come out of his eyes. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what you are doing in secret. Another of the seven people, وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. Is a person that gives sadaqah so secretly, his left hand doesn't know what the right hand gives. Not even his left, to indicate how secretly does it between him and Allah. Nobody knows. Not sometimes, Allah give us permission to sometimes, not all times, sometimes gives openly, but with the intention that I must be a motivation for my brothers and sisters to also give sadaqah. And that is recorded in the Quran. Sirran wa alaniyatan, Allah says, those people who give secretly, they give secretly, but sometimes they give openly, not to show off, but to be a motivation for others. The second part, to make sure that the sincerity comes, and develops in our heart is that fear that people are going to praise us and recognize that we don't want to do it for that purpose. We have to be famous. People must know us. That's a fear in the heart. You don't want that. Genuinely, you don't want. Some of the good news and some of the things that I learned when I was in Medina, and that's why it's so important to sit, not to learn on Google. We can make use of Google, but we must sit. This is the barakah. To sit in a class, to sit in front of somebody that delivers the message and transmit the message, that is the way that we learn. So in one of my lessons that I said in Medina, a person asked Rasulullah, "Ya Rasulullah, now what if people praise us for what we are doing?" The Nabi Muhammad said, "If you are sincere what you are doing, then that is a reward already from Allah. You didn't do it that people must praise you. You did it genuinely. People wasn't talking about it. But people still praise you. That is an extra reward from Allah for you. You didn't want to do it. Brothers, understand what I'm saying? You do it genuinely. You don't want people to praise you. But the Sahabi, what was Ya Rasulullah, but when people come and praise us, the Nabi Muhammad said, that is an extra bonus from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear ones, another way to get an ikhlas is to make dua. Oh Allah, grant me to be of the sincere ones. Allahumma ja'alni min al-mukhlisin. Mukhlisin. Allahumma ja'alni min al-mukhlisin. Mukhlis is a person with ikhlas, with sincerity. Allahumma ja'alni min al-mukhlisin. Can you produce it for say? Allahumma ja'alni min al-mukhlisin. Again? We make that dua. Every day we make the dua in sujood. Nobody hears us. Allahumma ja'alni min al-mukhlisin. So sincerity is very, very important. So my dear ones, our rewards and our status, our rewards and the status of our deeds depend and rest completely on our sincere intentions. Our sincere intention. Innamal a'malu binniyyah. This is what this hadith is all about. That all your good deeds will be judged according to your sincere intention, sincere niyyah. And the hadith is niyyat. You can have so many intentions. One of my teachers in Medina to Munawwara, at the University of Medina, and he was a very young man. But I will remember this, inshallah, for the rest of my life. And I'm sharing it with you, my dear brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, so that you can also remember it. He said to us one day, the problem with the Muslim Ummah is not that they've got bad intentions. That's not the problem with the Muslim Ummah. The problem with the Muslim Ummah is they've got no intentions. That is the problem. He says, once Rasulullah says, whatever you do, do it with a sincere intention. The Muslims are not doing it. Then they get examples. And wallahi, I'm sure that you're gonna appreciate it. He says, the husband goes out in the morning, every morning, to go and work for his wife and his children, to make sure that they eat halal. If he goes out in the morning, every morning, for the sake of to please Allah, and to seek rizq from Allah, to look after his wife and children, to make sure that they have halal income, Allah will reward him for every day's work. For that 8 hours, 9 hours, Allah will reward him for every day. Allah knows. Allah knows. He says, the second example he made was, if the wife at home, as our wives are doing, she clean the house, she do the washing, She makes the food and she do it for the sake of Allah. To please Allah and to make a husband happy and the children happy. Allah will reward her for every day's work at the house. And then he made the third and last example. He said, you as students, if you come to university for the sake of Allah, to please Allah, and your intention is one day when you go home back to your countries to serve Allah's deen, then Allah's going to reward you for every day sitting in class, for every minute, for every hour. Allah, I really appreciate that. And I will remember it for the rest of my life. And that we must share with our children. Imagine you tell your daughter and your son from primary school, my child, if you go to school to go and learn, to empower yourself with education, and you go to high school, university for the sake of Allah. One day you want to serve Allah's deen. One day you want to serve Allah's creation, whether you're going to become a doctor or an engineer, whatever you're going to become. But for the sake of Allah, my child, then Allah is going to reward you for every day going to school, for every hour you sit in class. So once again, that Ustaz said, the problem with the Muslim Ummah is not that they've got bad intentions. The problem is they've got no intentions. So my dear brothers, whatever we do with a niyyah to please Allah. Also, my dear beloved ones, as we all know, that the worst and the biggest sin that a human being can commit is to ascribe partners with Allah, to make shirk with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to forgive you for any other sins. It is possible, because Allah is the most merciful and most forgiving, that Allah can forgive, we don't know, for any other sin. But there's one sin that Allah will never forgive, Allah says in the Quran. And that is to make shirk with Allah. To take away the right of Allah. Allah is your creator. Allah has created you. And Allah is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. And you worship somebody else. Like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the great Sahabi, he said the people always ask Rasulullah of what is the best deeds that they can do. His worry was, what is the worst sin in the eyes of Allah? So he said, one day he stood up in the masjid and he was a very short man. So if he wanted to ask a question, he must stand on his toes. Otherwise Rasulullah can't see him. And then he asked, Ya Rasulullah, أَيُّ ذَنْبٍ أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. What is the worst and the biggest sin in the eyes of Allah? And the Nabi Muhammad said, the worst and the biggest sin is أَنْ تَجْعَ لِلَّهِ نِدًا وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكَ, is to call upon anyone else besides Allah, whilst Allah is your creator, Allah is your sustainer, Allah is your provider, but you are somebody else. For example, you are married for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, you can't get children. You run to the karamats and ask the karamats. The karamats and all the gynecologists and all the professors, if they all come together, they won't be able to bring you a child. The only one that can bring you a child is Allah. But you ask somebody else. That is the main part of our deen. We don't need to shy away to speak about this, the tawheed. That's the main part of our deen. So anybody mustn't be afraid to speak about it. The oneness of Allah. When we ask, we only ask Allah. The Nabi Muhammad said to Abdullah ibn Abbas, إِذَا سَعَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you want to ask anything, you ask Allah. وَإِذَا سَعَلْتَ, and we seek Ya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know well that if all the people come together, all the people will come together to benefit you, they won't be able to benefit you unless Allah has written it down for you. And if all the people come together in the whole world to do you harm, they won't be able to harm you, says Rasulullah. Only if Allah has written it down for you. Allah. And then Abdullah ibn Rasul made use of the opportunity, Ya Rasulullah. No. And after that, what's the biggest sin? And the Nabi Muhammad said, to kill your child out of fear, there's not going to be enough food for your child. And the people are doing it today. The woman, the Muslim woman is become hamil, second child, third child. And she said to her husband, and the husband agreed, but we didn't plan this child. So they decided to go to Victoria Hospital or Somerset for the abortion. And they say, I'm not working, and you're not working. That is the second biggest sin, says Rasulullah. My dear brothers, alhamdulillah, history of Cape Town will tell us that our mothers had 10 children, 15 children, 20 children. Wallahi, there is a mother, it is in the records, one mother that had 23 children. At that time, we didn't have a lot of money. I mean, I'm now 63, alhamdulillah. So I can tell and I can relate. Dhruva brood in condensed milk. Dhruva brood in seika. Alhamdulillah. And for 63 years, I can be seika, I can be whole blood, I can be cholesterol. Alhamdulillah. Because that dhruva brood that my mama made her head was halal. And halal yao is gezond, whether the dhruva brood in condensed milk is. Ons het hier die gadgets van die kinders vandag hier. Ons het nog geen brood met kajangs. Kajangs. En ons het geen frittans. Frittans. Want ons kan nog wel frittans. Alhamdulillah. Today, the lady is having and says, no, they didn't plan this out. May Allah protect us.
Amen.
And then the third one, Abdullah ibn Rasul goes out and says, Ya Rasulullah, and what's the third biggest sin in the eyes of Allah? And the Nabi Muhammad said, if you have made zina with your neighbor's wife, the person closest to you, our neighbor's was the closest one. My brother stays in Sarajevo, the other brother stays in Silvertown. So the closest people to me in Portland is my neighbors. And this man trusted you, but Jason still with you off. And they gevoelend it for your name as a vrouw. And not only gevoelend it, you've done the worst thing. You have made zina with your neighbor's wife. May Allah protect us. Because we live in a world like that today. Many years ago, I read in the papers, New Paper, by the Sunday Times, so week in August, there was a court case in Johannesburg. This husband, the mother and the father, husband and wife. And the father took his wife to court. And he said to the magistrate, I've got 5 children, but this last one is not mine. It's a neighbor's child. The wife stood up and said, Your Honor, this man doesn't speak the truth. This last child is his, but the first 4 belong to the neighbors. The neighbor. Yes, the beacon is his name is my brother. So it's happening. It's happening. We all protect us. So our time is running out, but I'm almost at the end, inshallah. Coming back to the sincerity. You know, Allah is very serious about it. So the Nabi Muhammad said, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمَ الشِّرْكُ الْأَصْغَرُ. My greatest fear for you is not a big shirk. In fact, another hadith Nabi Muhammad said, the shaitan, he has given a hope that he won't be able to get you to make big shirk. Right. So the Nabi Muhammad says, but the thing that I fear most for you is the minor shirk. So the Sahaba said, Rasulullah, what is the minor shirk? So Nabi Muhammad said, Ar-Riyah. What is Riyah? To do good deeds, to show off to people. To do good deeds, and you want people to speak about it. MashaAllah, that man is a good man. He gives to the masjid 50,000, 20,000. You want the people to speak about it. That is riya. You don't do it for the sake of Allah. You give it with the intention that people will speak about it. May Allah protect us.
Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah that we are here. Because we all human beings and we make mistakes, but we be reminded. Sheikh Nazim, I spoke about Sheikh Abu Kandajar. May Allah grant him Jannah for those. I want to mention the president of the Sheikh Abu Kandajar, Sheikh Nazim Muhammad. Allahu Akbar. What a great leader. Sheikh Nazim told us one day, he was told there was a person in the masjid. He was making salah like this. And he saw the eyes, who was so. And so, two brothers are walking. So, the one guy said to the other guy, "Ya Allah, the man is a solid man. He's a pious man." And to come into the store and to say, "I'm fasting today also." Yes, Allah protect us. Allah protect us. You know, one of the things that I've learned in Medina also, there's a lot of barakah in Medina, a lot of nur. May Allah grant all those who have not been there, soon Allah must grant the honor. 2 years ago when I was in Medina, I was very emotional. And I said to myself, "Ya Allah Ibrahim, you are so fortunate. You are in the very place where Allah has revealed the Quran to the Nabi Muhammad. Allah, Jibreel alayhi salam came here. Rasulullah was walking here, the Sahaba." Subhanallah. This is the very place that Rasulullah made dua. "Ya Allah, my father, Nabi Ibrahim, made dua from Makkah. Allah must, that Allah put barakah in Makkah. Oh Allah, I ask thee to put double the barakah in Madinah al-Munawwarah." And Allah has accepted the dua of our beloved Nabi Muhammad. So what I've learned also in Madinah, the Sahaba, and the Sahaba didn't have a lot of money, but when they wanted to make sadaqah, they wait until evening, when everything is dark. They will knock on the door of the person who's going to give sadaqah. If that person opens the door, you throw in the sadaqah, throw and run away. You don't want that person to see who gave the sadaqah. You don't want that person to see who gave the sadaqah. Allahu Akbar. My dear ones, the last hadith that I want to do is also a very serious hadith. The Nabi Muhammad says, "Inna awwala, awwala al-nas yuqda yawm al-qiyamah alayhi rajul istashida." Of the first people that is going to be stand accountable in front of Allah is a person that died as a shaheed. So he was brought forward. And he was reminded of the favors that Allah has given him. And he admitted, "Yes, Allah has granted me this and Allah granted me that." So Allah asked him, "What did you do with all those favors that I..." So he said, "Qataltu li wajhika ya Allah." I fought in the jihad for your sake, Allah, and for your pleasure. Rasulullah said, "He will be told, kadhabta, you're telling lies. You were fighting in jihad so that the people can say, oh, that's a brave man. And mashallah, look, he was fighting until he died shaheed. So you didn't do it for my sake, says Allah. You say you did it because people must see and people must speak." And take him and throw him in the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect us.
Ameen.
And then the person that was learning the deen and he was learning to read the Quran, and the day of Qiyamah he was brought forward, and Allah reminded him of his favors that Allah has given him and the knowledge that Allah has given him, and Allah asked him, "What did you do with your knowledge?" "Ya Allah, I share the knowledge of people for your sake, Ya Allah, for your pleasure, Ya Allah." You will be told, "Kadabta, you're telling lies. You did it because people were saying, mashallah, this is a great alim, no? This is a great alim. Take him and throw him in the fire of Jahannam." May Allah protect us.
Ameen.
The Qari of the Quran, you will be reminded of his beautiful voice, and he will admit. And Allah asked him, "What did you do with your beautiful voice?" He said, "Ya Allah, I read the Quran for your sake, Ya Allah, for your pleasure." He will also be told, "You're telling lies. You were reading the Quran in such a beautiful way that the people were saying, mashallah, he's a white Qari now. throw him in the fire of Jahannam. The last person of Rasulullah says, a person with money. And he was reminded that the money that Allah has given him. And he must also ask, what did you do with the money? He also will say, Ya Allah, I spend, I bought the masjid, I bought the madrasa, I gave to the poor for your sake, Ya Allah. And you will be told, no, you're telling lies. You didn't do it for my sake. You did it for another purpose. People must say that this is a good man and a generous man. Throw him in the fire of Jahannam. Now once again, the barakah of knowledge, because sometimes we will all feel very guilty. And we will think of where am I? The good news is, and this is also the barakah of sitting in lectures and lessons of great ulama. So this man Ali told us, this is not for us actually. Sometimes we are weakness, we do something to impress people, and we make mouth and ask Allah Tawbah. But this is referred to the person that his whole life is about people must speak about me. His whole life is people must speak about me. Not for us. We, alhamdulillah, we try our best to do the sake of Allah. Now and then, we do something. And I hope people are going to notice what I've done wrong. People are going to say, Sheikh Rambuyam. Sometimes we've got that weakness. But that's not our whole life. It's not every day, every week, big Jumu'ah, and the people must come and Sheikh Rambuyam. No, that is for those people. Their whole life is about them, not for Allah. So may Allah forgive us for our shortcomings. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity in our hearts that we benefit from this hadith. And I just really want to end off now. The second part of the hadith is also just so important. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مَا نَوَىٰ. Wallahi, I'm repeating myself. The second part of the hadith is very, very important. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مَا نَوَىٰ. And for each and every person, whatever your niyyah was, Allah's going to grant it for you. For example, if you come in the morning, Fajr or Masjid, to do it for Asr, for any time, and with the intention that Allah must grant you through the Salah, that's your intention, closeness to Allah. Wallahi, one day you will get that closeness to Allah. If you make Salah, or you fast on a Monday and a Thursday, and you make Salah to Tahajjud with a niyyah, to gain the love of Allah, wallahi, according to the words of Rasulullah, you will achieve the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Almost every Sunday morning on the radio I say, if we do the dhikr, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, we must do it with intention. For example, the Nabi Muhammad says, whosoever says la ilaha illallah sincerely, you will enter the Jannah. So the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, what is the meaning of saying La ilaha illallah sincerely? And the Nabi Muhammad said, if you say it every day and it keeps you away from all haram, then you said sincerely. So what we are saying, let us make a niyyah, oh Allah, I'm saying La ilaha illallah every day, 100 times, 500 times, whatever amount, with a niyyah that Allah must grant me one day. I'm going to stay away from all haram. I'm saying it for the third time, wallahi, Allah will grant. And one day, because that was your intention sincerely, you will stay away from all haram. And lastly, the Nabi Muhammad says, whosoever's last words are La ilaha illallah, you will enter the Jannah. So, the intention must be whenever we say La ilaha illallah, intend in the heart, make a niyyah. Oh Allah, I make intention, but sing La ilaha illallah, every day La ilaha illallah, with the intention, Ya Allah, that when I die, just before I'm going to close my eyes, that my last word will be La ilaha illallah. And based on the hadith of Rasulullah, if that is your intention every time, sincerely, Allah will grant that your last words will be La ilaha illallah. Once again, Mullah Faisal and my dear mothers and fathers and brothers, it was a great honor and a privilege for me to be here. May Allah grant, as we've gathered here tonight, that we meet one another in Jannah. Imagine that in one Sadaqah, can all see that in the Jannah. Since that in one, Alhamdulillah, was I afraid of on 15th of September?
Yeah.
29th was on military route in the Masjid.
Rashid.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah was at the market in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So I just want to conclude that, Allah has granted me that I very seldom forget at the end of my lecture or my khutbah every week that I remind my brothers and sisters of the key to the Jannah. And the key to the Jannah is five times Salah. You can't expect to enter a Jannah if you don't have the key of the Jannah. I would love to believe that everybody here are making their Salah five times per day. But my dear brother or sister, if you are here and you are not yet steadfast on the Salah five times per day, then this message is meant for you. Allah loves you. Allah wants you to be of those people that's going to enter the Jannah. So make that niyyah. It's all about the niyyah tonight. Make that sincere intention in your heart tonight. That from tonight onwards, you're not going to miss one Salah. And if you're going to do that, you are definitely on your way to the Jannah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.